Tuesday is Election Day, and the Bible has a lot to say about election. And when I was a young Christian, I never liked to think about God's election of sinners. It didn't make any sense to me. I didn't like that part of God's Word. When I preached through the book of Romans a couple of times, and in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, talk about God choosing people, individuals, Jacob, for example, and Esau. He says, Esau, you're going to serve Jacob. That was God's choice. And then Israel, so he chooses a whole nation out of all of them. You know, when God started salvation, he didn't say to the nations, okay, everybody, which one of you pick me? Oh, Israel, I see. Yep, okay, we'll I'll call you the chosen people. No, they were all kind of mucking around, rebelling against God, and God says, one nation, Israel, I'm going to work through you. Bring the Messiah through you. So God elects people. And when I would turn to, when I would preach through Romans, after Romans chapter 8, I would simply say, I don't understand Romans 9 through 11, so we're just going to skip that. We're going right to Romans 12. That was the my efforts there as a young preacher, and sometimes I still do that. But the Bible has a lot to say about election. It is a major theme in the New Testament. About 23 times, God mentions that plan of His for you and I. Okay, and in the New Testament, election always means God choosing salvation for the sinner. God choosing salvation for the sinner. So there's good news in it. Election is God's vote, not man's vote, and not man's will. Okay? That's a major theme in the Bible. The Bible does have a lot to say about our belief and our will, but when it comes to God's election, it talks about God's will. So we're going to talk about His vote this morning. Okay, Tuesday we'll be doing the voting. God will also, He'll be ultimately picking the candidates. But in the Bible, we're going to concentrate on God's vote. And being egocentric little critters, probably, I would think, 75% of our Christian life, we think of our vote. See, our choice, our will is very, very precious to us. And when you think about it, most of the time it gets us in big, big trouble. Because God's Word says, lean not on your own understanding. Instead, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So election, out of God's love and grace to us, He comes and chooses salvation for helpless sinners. When I think of election, more recently, I feel very, very blessed that God would be this way, according to what He showed in His Word. When I think of Him choosing people for salvation, my zeal goes up, my obedience goes up, my trust in Him goes up, my gratitude goes up, because I'm thinking about what the Lord does. Okay? So those things grow. My faith goes up. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And so I could say with 100% confidence, you are elected by God to follow Jesus. You are elected by God to follow Jesus. And there would be a response to the human heart when you hear that to say, oh no, I don't want that. And so God may let you have your vote at that point. If you say, oh no, to Him electing you, then you really are affirming that you're not elected at that point. So when you think of God's election, it's meant to be a reminder of God's love for us. In Ephesians chapter 1, you know, if you've ever chosen somebody to love, you may have had that thought before they paid any attention to you or were even aware of your existence. The same with the Lord's election of us. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, in love He predestined us to be adopted. Okay, so it's meant to love of the helpless, that God would come and do this. Great works of God in the Bible are a part of election. Creation, for example, God spoke the world into existence. You and I had nothing to do with that. It wasn't a part of our will or effort or anything like that. Incarnation, that was also God's election. The prophecies of Jesus coming to pass, you and I had nothing to do with that. Redemption, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You and I had nothing to do with the great work of salvation Jesus had on the cross. The only thing we contributed is the nail scars to our dear Lord. Sanctification is also a part of God's election. It's God's will that you be sanctified, made holy. We get to cooperate with that as His children. And, of course, the second coming will be God's doing, and you and I won't bring that about. Okay, it'll be in God's good timing. No one knows the hour. He knows the hour. And so the gift of election in our lives. When we speak of some things in God's Word, it's good to have a sense of dependence on what God says and not what we could figure out. I was reminded of when the Apostle Paul was trying to preach in Acts chapter 17. He was preaching to the folks in Athens, and preaching about the resurrection, and they said, "What is this babbler trying to say?" So sometimes that's our response to election or the Word of God. But if you come away this morning and say, "What was that babbler trying to say?" that would be a common response to the Word of God by a heart and a mind not quite ready to trust and have faith in Him. One good Bible commentator said about God's election, "Knowing God demands a radical commitment to truth and to mystery." Don't let go of the mystery between you and God, because we don't know Him fully like we should. So there's a sense of unknowing. And what I can't see, I have to trust. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who don't see." Oh, I can't see that, and yet trust. I can't see how God's going to answer that prayer. I can't understand this Bible passage. Blessed are those who don't see and trust me anyway. Oh, it sounds like a pretty healthy faith. Oz Guinness, who was featured in the Truth Project, said this about the Lord's initiative in salvation. "Without God, we cannot find God. Without God, we cannot reach God. Without God, we cannot satisfy God. All our seeking falls short unless God starts and finishes the search." So to get God at the center of your salvation, that's kind of what election deals with. And so in today's Bible passage, Paul mentions election for the Thessalonians. He said, "I remember your work of faith." Now, these folks are really involved. Perhaps they're stargazing a little bit too much, waiting for the second coming, not serving enough. But Paul said, "I do remember your work of faith, your labor of love, your unwavering hope, knowing your election by God." So Paul's saying, God chose you to serve Him, and because He did, you have a tremendous amount of energy toward the Lord. You're working, you're laboring out of love, and your hope is unwavering. You are really in it, 100%. And I'm sure you and I can have those moments from God. And Paul's saying, we know God has chosen you, knowing your election. We know God has chosen you. You're chosen by God like a fish is chosen to swim. You're like a tree that God's planted. The root is God's election. The fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. Your life yielded to God. So a lot of good news in the Bible doctrine of election. Here's some Bible facts about election. Again, trust in God's Word, not in your own understanding on all the details of what He says. Because our 3.5-pound brain is not going to match the amazing grace of God. We are elected to salvation. That's Ephesians chapter 1. In love He predestined us, even before the foundation of the world. So before the devil even became the devil, God said, "I'm saving people." That's pretty amazing. That's love from a long time coming your way and my way. Elected to salvation. We're elected also to good works. which is good news for us. If many people think, I don't like election because it makes you feel like you sit still and you figure, well, God will do everything. You know, what do I care? Well, you care because you love God, I think, and you care because you're responding to His love of you. You're elected to good works, Ephesians chapter 2. God prepared good works for you and I to walk in. He prepared those in advance. We are elected to have Christ's character. That's a gift. Romans chapter 8, that you might be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what the children will be singing about in the fruit of the Spirit. And then you're elected in Colossians chapter 3 to be clothed with mercy and love and forgiveness. So clothes that we would never wear on our own, mercy, love, and forgiveness. God says, here, I bought this for you. This represents My Son. And because you're chosen, I'm going to let you put this on. Okay, and we say, thank you, Lord, to do that. The alternative, of course, remember, is to produce these things in our own strength, which brings frustration, failure, and sin. Okay? So it's who we're looking to that will bring health or non-health out of our walk with the Lord. What else are we elected to? Again, Ephesians 1, we're elected to be adopted as sons and daughters. We don't adopt ourselves. God adopts us. John 15, we're chosen to bear fruit that will last. So our lives make an impact. And we're also elected to avoid deception by the Antichrist. That's a good news insight from 2 Thessalonians 2. So when the Antichrist comes and starts to fool people, hey, don't believe in the Messiah, you know, follow me, I can give you whatever He offers to give us. We avoid deception from the Antichrist by the protection of God, not by our own wisdom. Count how many times you've been fooled in your life already. Certainly you'd be fooled by the devil during the last days if, you know, unless God protected you. So He saves you from being fooled by the Antichrist. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And one more thing, you're elected or chosen to have Jesus reveal God to you. What would we know about the Lord unless He was gracious enough to tell us? Jesus said, no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Okay. So there's, you know, I can't know about God. He graciously tells us about Himself, and we give Him thanks. And remember, it's all because of the great love of God. We'd be helpless, lost, perish forever, unless God said, I'm coming to get those folks. Okay? God's side of the vote. And these gifts and experiences are God's plan, God's purpose, God's doing. As Jesus said, apart from Me, you can do nothing. So, if you feel like you're doing nothing, you're probably being apart from Jesus. And as a fellow believer, I could say that because of God's election of brothers and sisters in Christ, I can see your zeal, your obedience, and your faith gaining momentum. I see your labor of love. I see your unwavering hope. Why? Because you're elect. Now, if you're not elect, you're not going to see that in yourself. Right? And no one else will see it in you. But if you're elect, you will say, by the grace of God, I see this labor of love, this faith that's growing, this unwavering hope that God has put in my life. There are objections to election, which I would like to talk about, because these are things that would trip up our faith. And again, election is God's choice of the lost sinner. Often, again, if we look at our side of the relationship, which we often do, we will often crowd God out. One Bible preacher said this, which I think is true. We used to be in awe of the blood, sweat, and tears of the Lord, and now we simply think about our own blood, sweat, and tears. And God's sympathetic when we have blood, sweat, and tears. He really is. He's really sympathetic. But he wants us to know we look to him. And not just our own, not just our own pain. So he's very sympathetic even in the choices that he makes to draw us to himself. And so I think the clicker is over there. If you could put up the first slide for me, Jim, then I'll go get the rest of it. One great thing election does, it gives more of Jesus, less of me. And if that kind of appeals to you, that's a part of the teaching of election. The other thing election does is that it gives more of God and less of man. So if you want to see a perspective in life where God seems to be the center of all major endeavors, this part of the Bible is for you. If you like man being the center of all things, chances are you don't like the Bible anyway. Okay. So here, election. God's choice of people for salvation and holy living. Someone said that's why the symbol for the Christian life is a cross, not a ladder. The cross is what God has done for us. A ladder is what, you know, this is what we're going to do. No one ever met the Lord on a ladder, but rather at the cross. So here's election. Here's objections for election, which I have and we all have at one time or another. It's in the human heart. This creates fear. Oh no, my life is in somebody else's hands. I thought it was in my hands. I don't like this. I am afraid of this. Can I trust God? That's what the question comes down to. Would I rather trust myself or trust God? It would create fear in a bad way, making us be angry at God, perhaps. It would create fear in a good way if we would say, oh, I really respect God. I am in 100% awe of Him because He ultimately says who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. Wow. That's something. And the average believer, and I include myself, would say, I don't know if I want to put that on the Lord. I kind of want to put that on me. Yeah, I don't know how much you want to put on myself. As I mentioned at the beginning, I think I did. I would rather trust God to pick people than people to pick God. Look, all you have to do is look down the pew this morning. Would you rather trust God to pick people? Or would you rather trust people to pick God? People don't do a very good job picking God. They just don't. Okay. So the election of God, God coming to us, revealing Himself to us. First objection would be fear. That's understandable. Second objection, this is confusing. I know in the Bible it says, choose this day who you will serve. And Mary, you know, when Mary came to Jesus, she sat at His feet. Jesus said, you chose the right thing, Mary. Martha was into something else. And God's election of us never takes away our choices or our wills, but it does put them in the proper limitations. God doesn't take our will away. He just says, you should know what your will and your choices usually end up being. A bunch of muck. Okay. We would have to say, it's been my experience and seems to be what the Scripture says. So it seems confusing. This one, I think, hits me the most, and you could probably identify with it. This seems unfair. And I think we're right when we say that. It's unfair that God would choose and not ask us for our say. Don't we have a choice in the matter? You're right, it's not. It is unfair, because grace is unfair. Right? That God would save a sinner who's a total... He wasted his whole life, a thief on the cross, and he goes to heaven? Does that sound fair to you? Well, if you're thinking about your own alleged righteousness, you're going to say, this is unfair. But God, He said, I give you better than fairness. I give you my grace. I give you the gift you don't deserve. So we say, again, wow. There's a sense of wonder, a sense of gratitude when it comes to election. Here's a good one, I think, very common. I like my choice better. Right? We could say, okay, God, you choose who's going to be saved. No, that doesn't sound right. How about if I choose whether I'm saved or not? And as a believer, you know, we end up choosing who else is saved too, which is a big mistake. But I like my choice better. And God understands that. He gave us a will, but He wants that will yielded to Him. And ultimately, He tells us, look, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own choice. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will make your path straight. So again, it's a matter of trust. Who do we trust? Trust God to pick you, or trust you to pick God? This is a good one that we will have to answer to from a lost person, probably more from our own soul. Why did God create people for hell then? Okay. Why didn't He just doesn't say, have everybody turn to Him? Well, first, I think the Bible makes that clear with our, again, limited perspective. God created hell for the devil and his angels or his followers. And if people say, I don't want God and I don't want His election and I don't want His word, then what God meant only for the devil himself, people end up saying, oh, I'd rather go spend an eternity without God than to have myself yielded to Him. And so God passes over, as it were, those who would continue to reject Him. Man has declared war on God and chooses hell over heaven all the time. Interesting, when it comes to hell and heaven, there were some very strong believers in history who thought that God would actually, and this is going to rub you the wrong way, and I want you to think about why it rubs you the wrong way. They really said, I think there may be more people going to heaven than going to hell. And I think, well, if there's something about us that says, no way, you know, we don't like that. Thought? Didn't Jesus say narrow way, few? Well, He also said many. Give His life for many. In Revelation, there's multitudes and multitudes which no man can count worshiping God. So, Charles Spurgeon, for example, said, I fully expect heaven to be more full than the dungeons of hell. Maybe he was just having a good moment of thinking mercifully. But I think as people who know the Lord, we should really want that to be true, right? We should want that to be true. And also, please do this in your discipleship. When you hear of heaven, would you respond with gratitude and joy and occasionally say, praise the Lord? Instead of just saying, praise the Lord, or clapping when you hear of hell. This really bugs me as a Christian pastor. I've been in meetings, and I'm sure you have too, where the word's going forth and talking about Jesus, and yes, yes, and talking about heaven, yes, yes, it's mentioned, you know, and if you reject Christ, you're going to hell. And there's virtually a standing ovation. That's totally wrong. That's totally unhealthy. The only one who claps when people go to hell is the devil. We were talking about that with the elders the other day. They said, well, maybe they're clapping because you don't hear about hell enough. Well, that may be the case. So the good news of election, these are the rejections. The good news of God elected people. It's a basic Bible truth. Jesus said, you'll know the truth will set you free. It'll cause your faith to grow. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. It exalts God and humbles man. Paul said, I forbid that I boast in anything except Jesus Christ and what He did for me. Okay, that's what the Lord does. And I think a part of this too is noting that we don't have to understand everything about God's word or like everything about God's word for God's word to be true. Okay? That's very important. We don't have to like everything about God's word or understand everything about God's word for God's word to be true. The good news of election also is it proclaims that salvation's from the Lord, a gift, as he would save Jonah and the people on the boat there. And then the good news that Jesus is our sanctification. This is God's will for you, that you be holy and blameless before God. And the next verse is, God is faithful and he will do it. There's something about the determination of God pulling it off. Another blessing of election, God is working for our good. There's no sure promise of Romans 8:28 unless God can work before, during, and after my terrible experience in life. I'm pretty much left with putting the pieces of the puzzle together myself. And we may not, of course, we don't see it a lot of times, the puzzle together till we get to heaven. But we trust God. Another blessing of election, heaven is certain. That's a gift that's rare in a believer's heart. Jesus said this, come and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. Wow. So God says, I have this place for you. I'll come and take you to be with me. And then the last one, especially when it comes to our responsibility, God elects to use our prayers, our witness, our work in spreading the gospel. A lot of times when people hear about God's choices in election, we get to be like a spoiled child when your parents say, we're all going to Burger King, and we say, well, what choice do I have? You didn't even ask me what I thought. Some would say, if I believed in election, I wouldn't even pray. I wouldn't even witness. Well, I would think you would pray and witness because you love God. Okay? Not because you thought the salvation itself hinged on you and I. But God elects to use our prayers, witness, and work in spreading the gospel. God's word says, you're a new creation, and you are ambassadors for Christ. And the phrase is, and this is all from God. This is all from God, who's given us the ministry of reconciliation. So it's, again, the plan of God, the choice of God, working out his good salvation. Thank you very much, Jim. Just in closing, I wanted to say, could you say this part of the Bible, you know, just say before God, I don't like it. I don't even like to think of it unless I think of my own choices and things. However you can digest God's good word. But I would say, think of it as giving honor to the Lord. Because it does bring awe to God. It gives him full glory in our salvation and in our discipleship. It really does. Puts him in the driver's seat. I wanted to mention a few people in history who have been blessed by saying, oh, I love the election of God of the fallen, helpless sinner. Most recently, fellows, you probably would know, different people in ministry. John MacArthur, he really gets fueled by the doctrine. R.C. Sproul, Albert Mohler, he's radio ministry. John Piper, very famous Christian author. Johnny Erickson Tada. Poor girl's in a wheelchair for, you know, 30, 40 years. She says, I love the fact that God would pick to work in my life and for salvation. James Kennedy, late James Kennedy, he was very aggressive in evangelism because he thought, God's people are out there. I have to go and share. I'm responsible. J.I. Packer, Oz Guinness, Eric Little, famous missionary, loved election. Charles Spurgeon, Matthew Henry, Jonathan Edwards, Martin Luther, John Calvin, Augustine, Paul, and Peter. So we could, you don't have to be a crazed person about election. You could say, I want to honor God because God makes the choices of how my heart could turn to him. And boy, I really trust him. And I see no other way that I could even meet him other than he would introduce himself to me. And in closing, one short poem that might touch your soul as you continue to follow Jesus. One testimony of salvation. The poem says this, though I was born an orphan, abandoned and alone, the God of grace and mercy ordained to be my father and claim me as his own. So there we were, lost and alone. And God ordains for us to be claimed as his own. Give him thanks. Praise him for his grace and mercy. If you say, well, I'm not sure I'm elect. You know, Peter said, make your election sure because you are following the Lord. You've got this fervency that you can't seem to be stopped. Don't have any fervency or, you know, love or labor of love. Ask yourself, am I really saved? I do like the church thing, but I just cast myself on God and say, Lord, save me. He'll be gracious and merciful. And we thank him for himself. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your initiative, for your plan, for your purposes. And these are all great. They're really the strength of our lives. We have plans and purposes and so on. And you know, more than half of them are just wood, hay, and stubble. So we'd rather abide in you. And Jesus, you even said, well, I chose you. You didn't even choose me. And we certainly don't understand that verse. But we're glad you did choose us to show your love to us, dear Jesus. So continue to show your love to your dear people and draw many to yourself out of your grace and mercy and your choice from eternity past. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.